promises of God, my Savior. Stand on the promises, stand on the promises. I'm standing on the promises of God.
Standing on the promises that cannot fade. When the howling storms of doubt and standing on the promises of God.
Standing on the promises, standing on the promises, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing on the promises, standing on the promises. I'm standing on the promises of I've been transplanted assured in his promises that he is able to keep me and never let go of my hand. Assured in his promises that he is able to keep me and never let go of my hand. He'll keep me and never let go of my hand.
Hallelujah! Jesus is Lord of my life. Is he Lord of your life? Yes, if you're born again, whether you like it or not, he's Lord. And all those who don't believe, one day you'll bow your knee the same as I did. Do it now before it's too late. Today I want to share a little bit of a testimony before I get into this message, but there's a person I heard not too long ago said this: the biggest problem when God shows you a revelation and you're all fired up and you're all excited, you go and share it with somebody else and they kind of look at you with a strange look and wonder if you come from a different planet. That's how I sometimes feel when God shows me something and I try to share it with other people and they don't see it the way I see it. They look at me and they kind of put a doubt in your heart. Well, that, you know what that means? Keep it to yourself. If God speaks it to you, don't go share it with people who do not have like faith, because all it'll do is rub your faith. But anyway, whether you have faith for this one or not, I will share it with you. So you'll have to grin and bear it till I'm finished, or rejoice with me. Years ago, at about the age of 28, I was praying with this grandmother. And she said to me, "David," I was still in the Hutterite system that those days, "are you ever going to leave the colonies?" I said, "Nope, because I love the place. I love the way it's done. Never." And that lady said, "Well, God is going to take you out of there. He's going to take you out of there." And it took about a month and a half, and that prophecy came true. But at the same time, she had another prophecy made pretty well. It was within about 15 minutes after the first one. She said, "What God is showing me now, maybe you'll have a problem believing, but the Hutterite people are going to change to the point they'll be so full of God and filled with the Holy Ghost, they will shake North America." And I figured that was a tall one, and didn't put much stock in it until the first prophecy came true when I was ejected from the Hutterite system. Now it's been 20 years ago, or 30. How long has it been? 35 years ago. So I believe it's time for the second prophecy to come true. God putting his spirit upon the Hutterite nation. Well, not too long, I was listening to a prophet about a month ago, and that prophet said this, and I kid you not, he doesn't know that grandmother from 1970. He doesn't know her. She's died about 10, 15 years ago. And he said, "Here's what God is showing me. The Hutterite nation are going to turn to God, and God is going to hit them with the power of the Holy Ghost. They're going to shake this nation." And I was thinking, wow, that's the same prophecy I heard 30 years ago. I guess it's time it's going to come true. And then he made another statement. The Mennonite tribe is going to be filled with the Holy Spirit, that people from different nations are going to come and seek advice on how to do this. And that was so encouraging. I was listening with a mouth open. the guy was repeating the same prophecy I have kept hidden. Maybe give it to a few people in my life. But this guy brought it out in the open. And here we are waiting for that power, for that Holy Spirit to fulfill the prophecy that was given. Very, very interesting. I'm excited. Many people today are thinking that we're going to go on wearing masks. Things are going to go on as they're going. I've heard Christians speak that. They have no faith in what God has in mind. And the reason they have no faith is they do not read Scripture. They do not read about the end times. There's going to be a great harvest. I used to believe it's going to get worse and worse until God rescues us out of these place, out of this place. And I that's what I kind of figured would happen, because I knew this was coming. There's people that prophesied it in the 90s and in the 80s that this was coming, what we're seeing now. It's hard to believe, but when you have a paper that's written in 1981... the guys must have been onto something. They prophesied it. This was going to happen. They're going to try and bring in a one world government. But it's going to be pushed back by God. I used to figure one of these days God is going to take us out of here, and then that all this hell break loose. And nobody talked about an outpouring, a letter rain. Until I heard a prophet by the name of Schambach. He wasn't a prophet, he was a loud preacher. And he said, God told him, I'm going to save the best wine for last for North America. And I believe we're going to experience it. Are we going to go into a one world government? No, we're not. How do I know it? By studying Scripture. God has it very clear that the time of the tribulation will be after the harvest. The rapture is the harvest. He's taking the church out, and we're going to go out in a glorious church. So before I get into this message today, I will ask the Lord to open your hearts, show you what He's showing me. I will give you Scripture to prove what I have. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your grace, and I ask you, Lord, that you will open people's hearts to the signs of the times, to the truth of the situation, not what we see with our eyes, but what we hear with our ears, the rumblings of change. Governments are becoming confused. Lord God, you will make it more so. We decree it. They'll become more confused. They'll change. Your power will hit them. And things will change drastically. So you will bless this message today. You will anoint it. And bless those who are listening in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. And He's in control. Things will go according to how He determines it. Not how the world system determines it. They'll be pushed back just like World War I, World War II. The Germans tried to bring in a one world government and they were pushed back. Anybody who is foolish enough to try to change God's timeline will have to suffer the consequences. But it seems that Satan finds people every century who'll try to do the same thing. And every time they get made fun of, they're being destroyed, they're being pushed back. But God says this to us. I'm talking to the church, and if the unbeliever wants to pay attention here, he better, because this is what's going to happen. Let us now fear the Lord in Jeremiah chapter 5. Let us now fear the Lord our God that giveth rain, both the former and the latter rain. He reserved us unto us the appointed weeks of harvest, a reserved time. The latter rains are starting to pour. You can hear of incredible outpourings of the Holy Spirit all over the United States, and I believe it's coming to Canada. There is a reserved and appointed week of harvest. That's what Jeremiah prophet prophesied. The former rains were given at Pentecost. That's when the planting began. That's when the church began. And now we're getting ready for the harvest. And we need the latter rains before the harvest. And they will hit before the harvest. How do I know? I was a farmer. I know you cannot have the rain after the harvest. They have to become full before. So the heads will fill out, so that we'll have a bumper crop. And believe me, God will have a bumper crop. That is what he was aiming for. He kept that quiet from end time preachers, it seems, so that Satan would not be able to interfere. But now he's unleashing it on every corner of the earth. But you say, North America, the world is so full of the devil. If God doesn't judge North America, he will have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. I've heard preachers preach that. I've went on the internet and I've heard many prominent preachers say, America, North America is finished. The only thing we can wait for is the judgment of God to come down heavy on this nation. I got news for you. There's something different now besides what happened at Sodom and Gomorrah. And I'm going to read it to you. You need to understand the difference with Sodom and Gomorrah. Yes, I understand and I agree. The wickedness, the idolatry is just as bad and in some places maybe even worse than Sodom and Gomorrah. But what do we have now that Sodom and Gomorrah didn't have? Listen to Isaiah chapter 1 in verse 9. Except the Lord of hosts has left us a very small remnant. We should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. If the situation would be like as Sodom and Gomorrah, we would be destroyed. But there's one little difference. God said to Abraham, I'm going to destroy those two cities. And Abraham said, if you find 50, wouldn't you save them? God said, if I find 50, how about 45? Okay, for 45, I'll do the same thing. All the way down to 10. Why did Abraham stop at 10? Here's the reason. The reason why Abraham stopped at 10, because in those days, in every city, they had 10 judges sitting at the gate. We know that Lot was one of them, sitting at the gate, judging people. When those two angels came in, he was sitting at the gate, and he called those angels into his house. He knew what was going to happen to them. And God said, if I find 10, then I will save Sodom and Gomorrah. And if he couldn't find 10, there is no government to change anything. It's just going to go on, and it's just going to be destroyed. There's no 10 judges to plead for the nation, to plead for the city. So Sodom and Gomorrah had to be destroyed. They lacked the 10 they needed. Now I want to ask you a question. Except the Lord of hosts has left us a very small remnant, we would be like Sodom. Are you one of the 10 that is needed to intercede? I am. I'm sure every church has 10 righteous people who are interceding for the nation. I'm sure every city has more than 10 righteous people to intercede for their city. I'm sure every country has more than thousands of righteous people to plead that the judgment is stayed. God hears them and he has heard them. God prophesied to me years ago that he was going to pour out his spirit. It's starting to happen. We are not like Sodom and Gomorrah. Yes, we may see on the outside that we're in idolatry, that we're in all sorts of vices. Pornography is everywhere. The incredible child molestation, the child trafficking is terrible. But we at the same time have the small remnant that is saying, Lord, we need your spirit to be poured out. That's the only chance we got. We're not going to unite any church. We're not going to unite any denomination. We're not going to bring any religious system to God except God pours out his spirit like he did at Pentecost. What happened at Pentecost? Those 120 disciples were sitting up in a room hoping nobody notices them. And one day the power of God came upon them and they were outside in the street dancing for joy and shouting hallelujah. People looked at them and said, are you guys drunk? No, we're not drunk. We're filled with wine from heaven. That's what's going to happen. That's what has been prophesied. That's the latter rain that's going to be poured out. And I've experienced some of it. And I have asked God, God, we need that for you to open people's hearts and eyes and ears. And God said he will. Years ago, I was at a meeting. A man by the name called Morris Cirillo said, the day is coming when they will pack out the stadiums. They will pack out all of those places where they play hockey. It's not going to be like now, because now when you want the Holy Spirit, you have to look for him. You have to dig for him. The time is coming when God, the Holy Spirit, is going to take you by surprise and grab you from behind. This is what I'm looking for. It's going to be exciting. So, Isaiah chapter 1 in verse 16, it tells us, get excited, wash you, make you clean, put the evil from your doing from before my eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do well. Seek judgment, relief the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the wicked. Many religious organizations are doing that, pleading for the wicked. But the thing they need to do is to make themselves clean. How do you do that? By walking in your holier than thou in front of everybody else. By walking with your eyes cast down, being straight-faced, is that how you clean yourself? No, you clean yourself by accepting the precious blood of Jesus to wash you from every spot and wrinkle and make you clean and pure in the eyes of God. That's how you make yourself clean. Then automatically you will start operating the way God wants you to operate. It tells us in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Here's a good promise. Regardless who you were and where you come from, God said, let's reason together. He didn't say go to a priest or go to a preacher. He said, let us reason together. You and me, one on one. You, though your sins be scarlet, you can be a murderer, whoever you are, they will become white as snow. That's the promise of God for you who are not born again. You need to come to this God because God loves you. Here's a warning if you don't, but if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword. This is the promise of God. Let me tell you, you will not be able to blame you from not warning you. The God of love is a God who pleads. He pleads for you to come to him and turn to him. But if you don't, he also says, if you refuse, you shall be devoured. The eternal lake of fire is not a picnic. It's going to be forever and ever. Never mind the way some preachers preach. It's going to be throughout eternity because you are an eternal being. There was a time when you had no consciousness of yourself. But there never ever going to be a time again when you don't have that consciousness. Make sure that consciousness is not in the lake of fire. It's not going to be well with you. You need to come to Jesus, though your sins be scarlet. They'll become as white as snow. Hallelujah. Now I want to change a little bit here. When will the rapture finally come? When will the tribulation come? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need I write unto you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction come upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. I want to ask you a question today. Are we saying peace and safety today? No, we're not. Everything's confused. The whole world is in lockdown, confused to the hilt. Nobody's saying peace and safety. Everybody is wondering what's going to happen next week or next month. Is it going to get worse? Are we going to have the fourth wave of this so-called virus? Or the fifth or the sixth? Nobody knows, it seems, except those who seek God. He says here, when they shall say peace and safety. So here's what I feel this means. The power of God will change governments. The power of God will change religious organizations. The power of God will sweep this whole world to the point where there is going to be peace and safety. People will be shouting, peace and safety at last. But I believe in the middle of that peace and safety, harvest will be over. God is going to do a quick work on this earth. Harvest will be over. It'll happen in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Bye-bye, everybody. We're out of here. The God haters will be joyful. They will have seen the power of God. They will have seen the incredible signs and wonders and miracles. That's why the Antichrist will have to come with lying signs, wonders, and miracles. Because people will be used to it. They will know God is real. During the tribulation, they will not say there is no God. They will curse God. There's not going to be any evolutionists during the tribulation. No, no. They will point their finger at God and curse him. Because they have made a choice. And you cannot accept Jesus once you take the mark of the beast. Don't listen to strange preachers who preach that because they're lying to you. When they shall say peace and safety, that's when you look up. Hallelujah. But we have to come to that yet. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 in verse 4. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. You are the children of light, the children of day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. He's talking to God's children. If you have that hope that I have, then there is no darkness in you. I'm looking forward to with anticipation of what's going to come. The big problem is finding a bunch of people that are like-minded, who are joyful in the same thing and rejoicing. In these days, you're swayed either this way or that way. All depends who you listen to. Last, listen to God. Seek his face. Put your mind on him. Let him whisper to you. And then whatever the news media brings does not matter. It slides over your head. The only thing is, You wonder how crazy they can become. Now listen to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 in verse 9. For God has not appointed us to wrath. No socialism for this country. No takeover by the Antichrist until it's time. No takeover by the elites. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to attain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the joy and the peace. The promises of God are there. The problem is many Christians believe the Bible is just for salvation. The rest is just nice stories. That's the problem with many Christians. Look at yourself. Check yourself out. Are you one of those who secretly believe that? The Bible is just for salvation. The rest is just nice stories that happen in the Bible. It can't happen now. Yes, the prophet prayed for rain. What was his name? Elijah, prophet, prayed for rain. It came. He asked for a drought. It came. He was the same guy as we are. How many of us believe in that? Yes. Is it just nice stories? Well, take another look at it and ask God to reveal to you what he really wants from you. When Jesus woke up in that boat, the disciples were crying out, Lord, save us. And he said, oh, you of little faith. What's wrong with you? And boom, the storm was over. He was trying to teach them how to deal with a storm. But it went over their heads till the power of God hit them. Then they understood what Jesus meant. You have the authority over the weather. Hallelujah. It says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, wherefore comfort yourselves together, edify one another. So how can we comfort ourselves if we can't, if we aren't allowed to gather in churches or in groups? See what the governments are trying to do? They're trying to keep the comfort from us. I read that from 2,000 miles away the moment they started it. They want to keep the children of the living God from gathering on the Sabbath, which I call Sunday, in case some of you think I'm a Sabbather. No, I am a Sabbather every day. I love Jesus. I worship him all the time. So wherefore, comfort yourselves together. We need to comfort one another. We need to believe what the Word of God says. Never mind, it's a has-been book, and maybe it'll happen, maybe not. If God reveals something to me, I get excited. The only downer there is when I meet with people who put doubt on what the Word of God teaches. We're not appointed unto wrath. Listen to Isaiah chapter 59 in verse 19 in closing out. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. And I love this one. I changed it a little bit. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall rise a standard against him. Remember, I changed like a flood. The rains will come and they will destroy the works of the enemy. Hallelujah. I read it again. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will pour out, and they will be a standard against him. Are you ready for that flood that's coming? We see the enemy coming in. He's right in front of our eyes. He's pushing the mask into our face. He's the enemy. Like a flood, God is going to push him back. The mask will be a has-been. The word virus or COVID-19 is going to be forgotten, because the power of the Holy Spirit will push everything back into its place. Yes, we're going to be in for some good times. You may say, oh, you're just a preacher that's trying to see everything good. Yes, I do. I see everything good, because I put my faith in God. It's the timeline that I'm following. This is what makes the difference. But at the same time, the Apostle Paul knew his timeline. He was in prison, and he said, regardless where I am, I'm content because I know I'm in God's timeline and I'm in his will. They tried to kill him a few times. He was dead once, and he decided, sorry, I'm coming back to finish my course. He did. And guess what? This is where we get this amazing book from, the Apostle Paul, telling us we need to rejoice and believe what he has written, because it's not there for the fun of it. It's not there just as a nice story. It's there to lead us into victory. So open your heart to this and become a blessing to yourself. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord.